Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You know what? Today is Art Garfunkel's birthday. He's 83, and I'm glad that Chris Martin is still young and probably will be okay despite what happened to him.
He was doing a concert in Melbourne, Australia over the weekend and, singing and, dancing a little bit, moving around, doing the stage motions. Apparently, there was a trap door that was open on the stage, and Chris Martin, he was walking backwards and fell into the trap door, and it looks horrific when you see it, because he just, falls backwards into this thing. You could see that somebody was in there and kind of broke his fall a little bit, cushioned him, and he popped right out of the trap door and got up and, was making fun of it and, saying that you probably just watched the YouTube moment, which we have been playing the tape over and over and over again. It's tailor-made for television. But he's okay. And who leaves a, what is this, like Bugs Bunny and Wile E. Coyote? Who leaves a trap door open on a stage while somebody's performing on there?
Elmer Fudd sabotaging a Coldplay concert.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about the Game of Thrones movie, and they're developing this now, aren't they?
Yeah, that's about all that we know about it right now. We know that insiders are saying that Warner Brothers is building a set, and they say that there is they are in early development for a Game of Thrones movie, which flies in the face of what was originally said by the producers of the show in the beginning, that they were going to do three feature films to end the series, and then the network shut the whole thing down, scrapped all the ideas. So apparently it's back on the table again. It's probably years away from happening at this early stage, but if you're a Game of Thrones fan, it's great news that there's going to be something else coming your way.
I wrote myself a note yesterday to this weekend watch the Austin Powers movie again, because I saw, and I forgot about this, that Quincy Jones was responsible for that nutty bossa nova song.
Ba-ba-da-ba-da. Yeah. Ba-ba-da-ba-da. I think it's called Soul Bossa Nova. I believe that's the name of it. Quincy Jones, as you pointed out yesterday, Quincy Jones was very versatile in the kind of music that he produced, including Leslie Gore back in the early 60s. Who would have thunk that? But, there's all day long yesterday, reaction just continued to come in following the death of Quincy Jones, including people like Oprah Winfrey, who said that he forever changed her life for the better after meeting him. Elton John said nobody had a career as incredible as Quincy Jones. Will Smith said he was the true definition of a mentor, father, and friend. He let me use his wings until mine were strong enough to fly. Really, some very moving words. Gloria Estefan chimed in and said that he changed our existence for the better with every note of music that he created. John Legend said that he made the world more beautiful with the music that he created. This is all that was on social media yesterday, a reaction to the passing of the great Quincy Jones.
On Instagram, my wife was telling me, I think just a couple days or maybe a day before he died, he had posted a sweet picture of his daughter with him with a lovely message. So, maybe he didn't post it himself, but it was a photograph. So it wasn't a long illness, was it?
No, I had read yesterday that he had complications of diabetes. They didn't say that was the cause of death, but they did say that was something that he was living with, as a lot of people do who have diabetes. So I don't know if it came out slowly. They didn't really release details about his death yesterday at all.
Johnny Carson fans can watch old Tonight shows every night at 9 on Antenna TV. And now you can read all about Johnny in a new book. Dean?
Yeah, it's a new book that has been about 10 years in the making. You were good friends with Bill Zamy, as I was. I think one of the best celebrity interviewers, biographers ever, really. Bill passed away of cancer in 2023. While he was working on this Johnny Carson book, he was the only person to get an interview with Johnny Carson after Carson left the Tonight Show. Johnny Carson was very, very reclusive, but Bill worked his way in there and was working on the book when his cancer reemerged and ultimately took his life, so the book was never finished. Enter Mike Thomas, who is a colleague and co-worker with Bill, and he took all of Bill's notes, all of the archive material, just volumes and volumes of material, and completed the book, which is out today, by the way. The book is called Carson the Magnificent, and I know you talked with Mike last week. Mm-hmm. I had a little chat with him yesterday, and he talked a little bit about what he dealt with in putting this book together.
Johnny was a giant figure in Bill's life. I mean, more so than even Frank Sinatra, who's a huge figure, and Hugh Hefner was a huge figure. Johnny Carson was the one he identified with most closely, and I think he had this thing where he didn't want to miss anything, and so he would always be interviewing somebody who was, you know, three people removed from Johnny, just to get that extra Johnny story. And I swear, there is nothing he didn't collect in terms of artifacts, and there were hundreds and hundreds of interviews already transcribed and in binders, and I just think it became overwhelming at some point. And he also couldn't quite figure Johnny out to his liking. Johnny was not like Frank Sinatra. He was not a guy who lived life on the outside overtly. He was a very interior guy, and so mining who Johnny was became very difficult.
Yeah, the prologue that Mike wrote, Dean, is a book in and of itself, because the story of Bill's obsession with Johnny Carson and then how Mike came to the project is fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. In addition to the Johnny Carson story, you know, being very fascinating and kind of mysterious.
Yeah.
I mean, Carson was, in private life, was not who he was apparently on the air at all. And Bill was the only guy to ever be able to get in there. So good for Mike Thomas for getting in there. It couldn't have been easy. Mechanically, it couldn't have been easy, but he was also very close friends with Bill. So emotionally, I'm sure that it was very difficult. But Bill's closest friends and his family, his sister, who cared for him when he was ill, all are, you know, feeling sort of a sense of completion of this project that was so close to Bill. Again, it's in wherever you kids buy books these days. That's where it's available starting today. You can get more if you go to Carson the at Carson the Mag on Instagram. There's more information there as well.
I miss Bill so much, but reading the book, I feel like I am still with him. He's still with us a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a Kim Kardashian sighting to report. What's this about?
This is really more a Kim Kardashian, what she was wearing sighting, which, you know, normally I could care less about what the people are wearing on the red carpet. I know a lot of people are into that, but this is actually kind of interesting. She was wearing on a red carpet at a charity event over the weekend in Los Angeles a purple amethyst cross, which was lined with 5 carats of diamonds. That's not the story. The story is that this crucifix was a favorite of Princess Diana, and it has not been worn by anybody in public since Diana's death. The piece of jewelry itself was created in the early 1900s. Diana loved it and wore it several times. Kim Kardashian bought it at auction last year for about $200,000. She shortened the necklace. She paired it up with some other pearls and diamonds. And, you know, her usual flourish, whatever Kim Kardashian does. Mm-hmm. But it did look quite nice. And I love the historical part of the whole thing, too, that it was, you know, it goes back over 100 years.
Remember, Dean, when you're on the red carpet interviewing celebrities, you don't ask anymore, what are you wearing? The question I hear now all the time is, what's your story?
Oh.
Yeah, what's your story? I don't know what that means exactly. But
what's your story?
Yeah, that's what they're asking.
I can only imagine what some of the responses might be to that. Some of the celebrities that I've interviewed on red carpets, I'm not sure I'd want to hear their story.
Thanks, Dean. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Bye.